So the story from Luke's gospel that Maggie just read is sort of an ancient version of virtue signaling, right? So you have the Pharisee who stands up in public and, you know, prays this prayer out loud, demonstrating his own righteousness, right? I fast, you know, I tithe, I give 10%, I pray, I'm following all the rules, right? The contemporary version of this might be something like going on Facebook and posting like the picture of your Nissan Leaf that you drive, or maybe like that you eat vegan and you do yoga every day or something like that, right? I mean, I have to admit, I really kind of hate social media, but the few times that I do go on, and I only use it for professional reasons, like there's a lot of people like virtue signaling on there, right? I mean, it's, you know, like posting about having the right opinion or taking the right stand or buying the right product, right? And some of this is always a kind of positioning, right? So I'm not like those other people, right? Fill in the blank, right? Whoever they are on whatever sort of cultural divide you might stand on. So in Jesus' story, then there's a tax collector who in this context, in the ancient context, would have been pretty clear what side he was on, right? So tax collectors were hated. They were obvious sinners, right? Because they were complicit in the empire extracting, you know, money and exploiting people. And so they were basically helping the empire to oppress their own people. They were loathed, right, by the public. Who knows why someone would go into tax collecting? Maybe it's out of greed. Maybe it was just to try to feed your family, right? But this guy in the parable knows he needs healing, forgiveness, restoration. He knows there's something broken in him. The Pharisee, on the other hand, and there are a lot of secular Pharisees, I think, in our society today, is quick to point out other people's wrongs, right? To say, oh, those rogues, those thieves, those tax collectors, I'm so glad I'm not like them. Right? Isn't it a long-standing human tendency to sort of categorize people in this way? Sort of, you know, some are righteous, others are not by group identity. But it misses a really basic point that all of us are broken and need healing on some level. Ideologies that elevate one group over others, whether white supremacy or Marxism, make a profound mistake. People are complex. We're all created in God's image, but also somewhat messed up, right? We're fallen, we're broken, we make mistakes, we do wrong things. No one escapes this. Whenever we set up one group as pure and righteous, whether it be the proletariat or clergy or victims of injustice or our particular political or religious or cultural tribe, we set ourselves up to be disappointed. So this biblical teaching about human nature is countercultural. And it's something I think we need to hear in today's world of virtue signaling and social media shaming and categorizations that reduce people to their external identity markers. We all, without exception, need healing, mercy, forgiveness, restoration. And those things seem elusive in today's culture. There's a lot of condemnation, a lot of division, a lot of judgment, right? And in my view, at least, too little compassion and too little recognition of complexity. So in the reading we had from Jeremiah a few minutes ago, this is the people of God naming how they have betrayed God's love and vision for human life, right? And it may seem like kind of strange language in today's culture, people saying, you know, we've sinned. And I think in contemporary America, that's not language people use that often, right? People don't think of themselves as sinners or saints, and yet desolation, loneliness, rejection, fear are all over the place. People are profoundly isolated in our society. No wonder there is an epidemic of depression and anxiety that we don't know what to do with as a society. There is, in fact, no quick fix. To be a Christian, to follow Jesus, is to know and trust that there is a solution. In the words of Jeremiah, "You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name." God joins us in the person of Jesus to offer mercy, healing, love, and restoration. And this isn't an idea or an abstract ideal, but a lived experience. It's not something that we strive for by getting it all right, by praying really hard or meditating a lot or just doing all good works, but it's a gift that comes to us, especially when we're fragile, weak, and down and out. And it comes through another person. I want to share with you a story that my colleague at Luther, Andy Root, heard when he was out in Seattle interviewing people in some churches. And he interviewed this young mother. So, you know, young child, her husband went on a business trip to Chicago. After a couple days, she got a phone call. And it was the authorities in Chicago saying, "Man, I'm sorry to tell you, but when the cleaning staff went into your husband's hotel room, they found him dead of a heart attack. So you need to come and identify his body." She'd never been to Chicago. She called her mom, had her mom come over and watch her child, and she got on an airplane, what must have seemed like a really long flight. She lands in Chicago and gets in a cab, and she hands to the cab driver the name and address of the morgue. And they drive over there. And as they pull up, instead of just kind of letting her out at the curb, at the door, the cab driver pulls into a parking space. And he follows her in, just kind of a few steps behind. And as she goes into the room where she has to identify her husband's body, she feels this gentle hand on her shoulder. It's the cab driver who's gone in with her, who's standing with her in this place of pain. And this woman told Andy, she said, "I've never felt more ministered to by God than in that moment." It's these moments, standing with others in the places of deepest pain, of suffering, of fear, listening deeply to another's story, holding a hand, stepping into another's pain without taking it into yourself or passing it on to someone else. These are the moments in which God ministers to us, in which the healing and mercy that we know in Jesus Christ is made real, where we experience it, where God acts. You have received those moments in your life. And you've also given them, I'm sure, too. God has acted through others to minister to you, and you, God has acted through you to minister to others. This is how Christ comes to us. So today in the Lutheran tradition is Reformation Sunday. And the key insight of the Reformation, there were a number of them, but the really key insight was this idea that it is God who justifies us, God who makes us right. We don't have to try harder. It's not up to us, but it's a free gift from God. And Martin Luther said that we know that gift through what he called little Christs, right? Ordinary people in our lives who embody that love and mercy of God to us where we are. I became a Christian as a young adult, to a large extent because of a friend in my life who modeled God's unconditional love to me, who was the face of that love to me. And because I'm kind of dense, God, you know, had a sense of humor on this. Her name was Christina, which literally means little Christ, right? But I didn't even figure that out until years later, right? But that's how it works, actually, right? There's no need for virtue signaling. There's no need for that posturing and condemnation and self-justification. We can be honest, actually, about what's broken in us, what's in need of healing, what's desolate. Ways in which we've done wrong to others and ways in which we've done wrong to ourselves. And we're going to take a couple moments of silence, and I just invite you to receive God's compassionate love for you in the person of Christ, even as we know that through ordinary people in our lives. I invite you just to sit and reflect on a time when you received that love, that mercy, particularly maybe in a point of greatest desolation or weakness. Know that God's healing love is for you. There's nothing you can do to earn it or to lose it. It's a free gift. I invite you just to think on that, to receive that, and also to think about ways in which you can be a little Christ to others in your life. Amen.